Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
3-2, swing and a miss. Christian Javier blew a fastball by him at 92. And a terrific inning for Christian Javier. He threw only 10 pitches to go 1-2-3.
Christian Javier is awesome in the playoffs. El Reptil, as they call him. Over the course of last night's game, the first 4 2/3, he was no-hitting the Texas Rangers. He does allow a single. He allows the home run to Josh Jung. Lasts another 2/3 of an inning. Kyle Tucker can't catch a ball that goes over his head. And you get a very Christian Javier night. 5 2/3. It's never quite 6. And an almost no-hitter along the way. Not as many strikeouts as you typically see. But, I mean, the Rangers were really struggling against him. And that fastball is back. That's really great news for the Astros. And I hope that we will see Javier again. Someone texted in, any Game 6 alternatives for Framber Valdez? Well, if you really want to be ballsy, is Javier an option? So he pitched last night, Wednesday. That gives him Thursday, Friday. They're off on Saturday. They would have to, of course, keep winning to get to a game 6 on Sunday. But you get the day off. 3 days rest. Is that enough? Because you're starting him game 7 on Monday if it does go to a game 7. And we know that Dusty, positive vibes only, at least sounds like he's flying by the seat of his pants when it comes to who he will use for specific games. But do you trust Framber right now? I think it really does depend on what the series is going into game 6. If you're down 2-3, I think you think about Javier. If you're up 3-2, I think you use Framber.
I think that's where I land too.
He's still Framber.
It's
not the Framber of old, Sean, but it's still Framber Valdez. And you can't, just because he's pitching poorly, you can't say to yourself, like, yeah, our borderline ace pitcher, we can't use him at all. Like, you have to have the balls to put the guy out there. Your alternatives, it's not like if you were healthy going into last year's postseason with McCullers and Luis Garcia. You're just in a different world right now.
And another thing to take into account is, like, that works. And then you have to play game 7. And then you actually have to start Framber for game 7.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that kind of makes the decision for you of, like, well, we'll just start him in game 6 as opposed to, like, the truly terrifying proposition of starting him in a game 7. But maybe if the situation where they're down 3-2 in a game 6, I think you start Framber. And then if he has a first inning like he did in game 2, quick hook, Javier, welcome to the game. Like, you're basically starting on short rest, but you had an opener who gave up 3 runs or however many. You know, it's the first sign of trouble with Framber. Don't let him make the big mistake. Just the first little mistake, like first run that scores, or if there's like 2 innings where he really like escapes like with only 1 run, you got to pull him. Like, you can't – he doesn't have the benefit of the doubt anymore.
Correct. Gopher Monkey on the Twitch said, short leash, he has to start. Bulldog saying start JP. I don't know. I kind of like JP doing what he did, coming in relief. He did well there. I think asking him to go more than three innings is probably asking too much. Asking him to face batters a second time around, especially now that he's already been used in the series, I think you're asking a lot of a guy who did struggle the last month of the year.
Yeah, I think he's in that situation where he's a reliever if your starter goes super short.
Correct.
I think that's where you put him.
But let's circle back because, again, game four. Today's the biggest game of the Astros season. Today is the greatest day of our lives if we manifest it, okay? So we got to focus on game four. I'm being that guy. I'm being the person who's saying, fans need to focus on the game at hand, like they're players.
Yeah, yeah, fans, you need to take it one game at a time.
Yeah, you have to take the same mentality, okay?
Don't look ahead. Who would you rather play in the World Series? Doesn't matter.
Don't
have to get past the Rangers first. It's like, yeah, okay.
It's really funny when people that are listening to sports radio will do that to us. Like, oh, you can't look ahead. But on a serious note, we aren't looking ahead. We're focusing on the now. Don't get too high after last night's win. It's one win. They got to even the series. Once they even the series, we can start to be condescending. But it's a business trip. They did what they're supposed to do, which is win on the road. They've won six consecutive games at Globe Life Field. They've won 15 of their past 18 road games, said Martin Maldonado of playing at Globe Life Field. We know how well we play in this stadium. There's a part of me that wants to take a listen to Dallas Sports Radio this morning after the show to see how they're feeling. But there's another part of me that feels like I'm going to have to listen to too much Cowboys talk because there's a lot of Cowboys stuff going on. We're not doing a playing with the boys segment this week, executive decision, even though we'd like to get ratings because it seems like the Undisputed show not working out so hot for them ratings-wise, talking about the Cowboys all the time.
Because we're beating them. That's why.
We are literally beating Undisputed. That's how bad it is. Now, we're doing well, but like we are actually beating a nationally televised show. Not even kidding. Anyway, to bring it back, to circle back, when it comes to, you know, the Cowboys and some of the stuff's going on right now, like Michael Parsons, why is nobody talking about the 49ers losing? And Dak Prescott said, like, they weren't pushing my tush enough on the tush. Like, there's lots of low-hanging fruit. We're sticking to this.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Game four, focus only, Sean.
Yes, listening to Dallas Radio. When you said, like, I want to listen to Dallas Radio, see what they say about the Rangers. I'm like, that you won't hear much. You won't
no,
hear much.
Probably
not. I don't feel like you'll hear it that much.
Willie Balters commented on the Twitch, and we appreciate this compliment. As a Rangers fan that has listened to this station all week, I have to say this is hands down the best show. Here's the thing. Is it concerning that, like,
kind
we
of
have...
Kind of backhanded, yeah.
We have a lot of Rangers fans that like the show. Is that bad? Because I've been a condescending prick to Rangers fans like all season long. Tab loves us still. Willie likes us. Do we want to be more hostile? Do we want to go full Adam Clanton and just like middle finger at other cities?
I think that we, it's because we wear the disrespect like on our sleeve. Like we're very open with the like, yeah, we don't take you seriously.
Yeah,
like, where the other shows maybe are less like upfront about it, but they still have those feelings. It's a little bit of like, you know what? I'd rather you just be openly like openly believe what you believe instead of like kind of being discreet about it. And I think because we're just so open with the like, hey, we do not take this team that seriously.
We don't look down on the people, you know, like we feel bad for
them.
We just feel bad. It's got to be hard.
Victim of circumstances.
If you live in a third world baseball country that's got a huge GDP, like it's probably, you know, like being in Saudi Arabia or Qatar and like a, you know, non-elite citizen, you know, like it's tough. It's hard. Hopefully you're not, you know, in slavery or something like that. Shout out to the World Cup. Looking past that.
How many people died building Globe Life Field?
A great question. Pour one out for it. Probably one person dies in the construction of every stadium, right? Oh, no, that's just the Middle East.
No, just them.
My
and
bad.
And it's thousands.
My bad. El Reptil, bro. I love it whenever Astros players say, that's why they call him El Reptil. Here's Mauricio Dubon saying basically what Martin Maldonado said of our fearsome, legendary postseason starter after yesterday's game.
The hype is unreal. I mean, that's why they call him El Reptil, you know, cold-blooded guy, you know, coming in and doing what he does in the postseason. You know, it's for grown-ups over there, and he's coming in and does it, and it's pretty special. We're not surprised, but you know, what he does, it's pretty amazing.
Indeed.
I do like the just, they're just building the myth almost. Like, you know, this is like, all the like quotes are like, he's El Reptil. Like, that's just what you do. That's just what this guy does.
This is going to sound somewhat unrelated, Sean, but last night while watching the game, I saw there was a commercial for Adobe Photoshop, and that in Adobe Photoshop now, you can use artificial intelligence to generate an image. And I was like, oh, damn, I didn't know that. Because I love playing with Photoshop. For all my videos, youtube.com/Paul Gallant, for all the videos I post, I do a thumbnail. And I thought to myself, let's see how crazy we can get. Let's see how nuts we can get. So you put a box and it just says like generate AI. So in the background, I said like, all the reptiles. Just give me all the reptiles. Like alligators, dinosaurs, and everything. It didn't do a great job, but it did give me a bunch of crocodiles eventually. So I have this like background of like Rafael Montero looking like he's in a swamp. And then I was like, can you make artificial intelligence? Can you make a crown of snakes? And it made a crown of snakes. It's not a great looking crown of snakes. You can barely see the snakes, but they made a crown of snakes. It's pretty sick. You could do this stuff. You could further the myth of Christian Javier.
I would have, this is the difference in your level of creativity and then mine, I would just been like, I don't know, put a iguana head on Christian Javier. Like just
that's actually better.
Have him throwing a pitch with just an iguana for a head.
Honestly, of all the reptiles, we talked about like our favorite reptile yesterday.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, yes.
No, I effed up. It's the Velociraptor.
They're birds.
No, they're not. They're reptiles.
They're closely related to birds.
Well, birds may have descended from them. But...
yeah. So are birds reptiles? Are chickens reptiles?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, why do alligator taste like chicken? You ever had alligator?
No.
It actually tastes like chicken.
I believe
White
you.
Meat. I don't think you do.
No, I believe you. I believe you.
Would you never have alligator?
No. I just haven't.
It's pretty good. I know we're just filibustering at this point.
Yeah.
This probably should go to break.
Not exactly riveting.
Paul Gallant here for alligator. It's good.
Eat like, alligator meat.
It's big alligator. Well, listen, I lived in Florida. It's crazy that you can't kill those things. It's nuts. They're eating your little spot. Like, oh no, my little Yorkie's in the backyard. Oh no, he's been eaten alive. Anyway, it's the Paul Gallant show. I don't know. Hey, serious question. Is Christian Javier, with what he has done in the postseason to this point, is he even close to Yordan Alvarez as a postseason performer? Is there an argument to be had here? We will compare numbers. It's the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.com. Iocane powder.
It is odorless, tasteless, dissolves instantly in liquid, and is among the more deadly poisons known to man.
To the Veritex Community Bank Studios and your favorite 10 to noon sports talk host, Paul Gallant. Give him hell, Paulie.
Bigger baller. Christian Javier or Yordan Alvarez. I am a baller. People say that all the time. This is the commentary that this song needs, right? Paul talking over a Houston classic.
I too would like to be a baller. I strive to be a baller.
You guys, I am a baller. I am a baller. You know, defensively, Michael Brantley made that play, but did you know that I was an all-district safety at Shorecrest Preparatory School in the great state of Florida? Did you know that? I'm a baller. But what you've seen out of both Christian Javier in his postseason career, but also this postseason too, that game against the Twins was beautiful, Game 3. And it helped the Astros ultimately win a series that was tied 1-1 going to Minnesota. And you could argue that he has saved the series with the pitching performance that he put together against the Rangers team that for a time, thanks to the Astros' bullpen after Framber Valdez and Javier was mowing down Rangers left and right. I think it got to a stretch where there was like 20 plus, 25. Maybe the Rangers were 1-for-30 or something like that over a large stretch of baseball, which makes you feel pretty damn good about the Astros pitching, and especially compared to the Rangers. It's the big edge. It's the bullpen. It's, I would say, the starting rotation as well, because you do have questions about Scherzer. And while Jordan Montgomery looked good and Nathan Eovaldi looked good again, do you feel like they're going to be able to do that again? I suppose we'll see. I'm hoping the Astros' bats have been wakened up by what they were able to do against Max Scherzer last night. But Javier, in all playoffs, of 313 pitchers with 4-plus career postseason starts, the .071 batting average against him is the lowest of them all. And then just think about the numbers that Javier has in the postseason total. 4-0 in 4 playoff starts. Over 22 innings, he's struck out 26 batters, allowing just 5 hits. That's insane. It's postseason baseball we're talking about. 2 runs, a .87 ERA. His ERA jumped to after last night's performance, because, of course, the Rangers got a couple of runs with the Josh Jung home run. So in the fourth inning. So that's what you get out of Christian Javier. Limited sample size, of course. Then you got Yordan Alvarez. Now, Yordan Alvarez was awesome in last year's ALDS. There was a bit of a lull in the ALCS against the Yankees. But then in the World Series, he, of course, has the big home run in Game 6 that essentially clinches the thing. That probably counts just as much as everything that Christian Javier has done, because it's a memorable moment that you're never going to forget, right? Like, that's the iconic moment of the 2022 Houston Astros, is the Yordan Alvarez hit. This postseason, though, he's hitting .407, 6 homers, 2 doubles, 10 runs batted in, a .1615 OPS through 7 postseason games. He's had a home run robbed. Leody Taveras stole that one from him last night. He had a double taken away on an error, so he could have 7 home runs and 3 doubles. And honestly, that 114.7 mile per hour single that he had to right field in the 9th inning, that could have been a double too. So we could go, well, actually, Yordan Alvarez should have 7 home runs and 4 doubles. It's insane. This postseason in particular has really been incredible. Because you take a look at his postseason numbers going into these playoffs, they weren't amazing. Like, they were solid.
It was more like the moments. He won single-handedly 2 games against Seattle last year. He had another big one, I want to say in 2021. He had another big, like, RBI or big home run in a big spot. But the World Series. What am I thinking?
Yeah.
It all blends together, all this winning. The Phillies World Series, yeah. It is, these home runs come in, like, massive spots, and that's what Yordan Alvarez does. Now it's just every game. He cannot stay off the bases.
He's been incredible. And is it a fair question to ask if Javier is as good of a postseason performer as Yordan Alvarez? I actually think it's a fair question to ask. I would take Alvarez between the two, but pitching wins championships, and Javier, time and time again, steps up. And I mean, his last 2 starts, what have we seen? Like, borderline no hitters. An actually combined no hitter, and this one it was 5 innings. I remember looking down at Sean, my phone, because we were watching the game at Wakefield Crowbar, lively atmosphere. And I'm like, wait a second. When you're not listening to the actual broadcast, which wasn't on, you look down and you're like, what? What's going on? What? He has another no-hitter going on? And then, of course, it gets broken up. But yeah. I remember, like, oh, damn, I guess he had a no-hitter.
The broadcast flashed a, like, graphic where it was like, the Rangers were 1 for their last 30.
That was where
combined.
I figured it out.
And so, yeah, so I was like, I saw that. I was like, oh, does that mean they he has a no-hitter right now?
But
I feel like they'd be making a bigger – maybe not.
Well,
but
it's frowned upon to acknowledge the existence of a no-hitter. I think it's dumb. I want to know that there are no hits. I shouldn't have to go look at my stat sheet and then look at the person to my right that I'm watching the game with and then elbow them and say, And then they're like, what are you talking about? What, we can't talk about what's happening?
Yeah, no, wait. Wait, did you tell someone sitting next to you that Javier has a no-hitter?
No, not until after the hit was had. Okay. I was like, oh, damn, good. He had a no-hitter? I didn't even know.
So you didn't cost him the no-hitter.
Oh, my God.
It was almost your fault.
I thought you weren't one of those. You just said you weren't one of those people.
I'm not.
You're being sarcastic.
Yes.
Then. Well, I can't tell, honestly, there. That's one of the few times I can't tell if you're being sarcastic. Because that is a thing that people do.
Yeah, real people believe. Real people that jobs and wives actually believe that.
This is it's a stupid thing. You're not in the clubhouse with the players. If you're on the team, this is the same thing as us telling you, like, which we're doing also somewhat sarcastically. Focus on today's game. Focus on the matter at hand. As a fan. Also, don't acknowledge the no-hitter. As a fan, they can't hear you. They haven't bugged your house yet. They haven't done it.
Alexa, does Christian Javier have a no-hitter? I do think I think it would be funny just after the first out just to be like, so far, Jose Urquidy has a no-hitter through .1 innings. He has a perfect game.
I mean, it's funny, too, because you could do it. You're allowed to do it about the other team to jinx them, but you're not allowed to do it about your own team because you might jinx them, which is just insane. It's insane logic. Anyway, Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in and to text in. As brought up by Virginia Buttonweed on the Twitch, Jose Urquidy has yet to allow a hit this postseason. Oh, my God, Virginia, did you just jinx him? Oh, my God. Let's turn our attention to Game 4 tonight. Jose Urquidy's on the hill for the Astros. Do you think he can continue his performance last time around, where, again, there were no hits? Andrew Heaney's on the hill for the Rangers. This also bodes well for the Astros. You'll hear why next. Stick around. This is the Paul Gallant Show.
ESPN 97.5.com. Take his pork chop.
I don't want his pork chop. I want his life.
Back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios and your favorite 10 to noon sports talk host, Paul Gallant. He'll behave, Paul. Give him hell.
Scherzer, the 1-2, and Altuve drives this one deeper to left. Going back, Carter still going back, and Altuve has left the yard. A home run for Jose. He missed the first at bat by a foot, and this one went about four rows deep in left field. Houston's got a 4-0 lead.
Martin Maldonado got the Astros offense going in the second inning. And once Maldonado got that hit off of Scherzer, it really felt like something was unlocked in the Astros. Jose Altuve was clubbing balls last night. He had, on the first at-bat of the game, a warning track shot. By my count, the Astros had 6 warning track shots. And then he gets that home run. He's making good contact, and I think the big development as Jose Altuve continues to excel, not just at Globe Life Field, but in the postseason, I think he is now second all-time when it comes to postseason home runs, which was, I loved seeing that graphic.
Yeah, first Manny Ramirez at 29, I think,
yeah.
And then Altuve is at 26.
This is what happens when you make the playoffs and the ALCS all the time. That Manny's still at the top is pretty impressive because there were some years where the Red Sox did not go far in the playoffs that he was a part of that team.
He also spent time on the Cleveland I-words.
Cleveland helped him out.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
But I mean, that's still not like they didn't win a World Series. I think
they
made one, right?
No. So
I mean, he wasn't on the team. Was he on the team when they made it?
Never. I think he was. I think he was a rookie. I could be wrong on that front. It was like the days of Jim Thome. Those are some damn good teams. 90s baseball was
Albert Bell.
90s baseball was better. Just was. I don't know. Maybe it was because I was a kid and I liked it a little bit more. But anyway, to bring it back to today, Altuve getting that home run, I think that's big. I really liked what I saw from Kyle Tucker. Not in the field, but Tucker was a lot more patient, and you could tell that Dusty Baker moving him down in the lineup didn't shatter his confidence. And I got to say, like, coming out of game 2, hearing him talk about the way he was swinging, honestly, I was worried. That was a great performance last night by Kyle Tucker. He drew 3 walks. And on top of that, he had the double in the 9th inning. If Yordan Alvarez, why did they send him home? it was very clear Yordan wasn't running very well. I was a little concerned about Michael Brantley diving for an injury. I'm still concerned that Yordan Alvarez is hurt after getting hit in the foot. And Max Scherzer should have been sent to jail for that. Jail. J-A-I-L. Damn it. That's a drop. Anyway, hey, game four. Sean, we're focusing on the present. That's in the past. Game three in the past. Game one, game two in the past.
I'm focusing on the very, very recent past.
Now listen, Kyle Tucker had that ball go over his head in right field.
Just a bad read. A bad read on that one.
I just misspelled the first two letters of jail. If it was a spelling bee, do you get a do-over? Like, wait. Do you get to say wait?
That's why I was so bad at spelling bees. I always would just screw it up like that. Oh. Where I would like just flip. It was a word I know how to spell. I'd just say it wrong. And then I'd be like, oh, all right. Guess I'm done.
I made the local newspaper in Hanover, Massachusetts, because I was doing touchdown dances after getting words right in the spelling bee. And by words, I mean the first word because I got the second word wrong.
But you're doing whatever the...
I still have this held against me.
Whatever the 90s version of the floss is or whatever.
Yeah.
Like whatever the little kid dance of the day was.
Basically, I used to do like the stir in the pot. That was my dance. Patriots game. The Patriots did something. I stirred the pot.
There we go. I like that.
All right. Where the hell were we? Oh, yeah. There's game four. We're on
game four. Biggest game of the Astros season.
That's
what we're talking about.
I love freaking out the guys in the hallway. Apparently, I interrupted a sales meeting by being so loud with some of my screaming yesterday. They were like, what were you yelling about? I was like, I don't know. I don't even remember. I don't remember anything. I don't remember half the stuff I say on the show. Game four. Jose Urquidy on the hill. So as pointed out by Virginia Budweed in possibly a jinxing fashion, Jose Urquidy was great when he came in for game four against the Twins. Like, that was a performance I did not see coming, truly. Because on the year, you know, of course, he's missed a lot of time with an injury. And his ERA, 5.29. Are you expecting a guy like that to go up against a Twins lineup that, yeah, strikes out a lot? And maybe that's one of the reasons that he was able to have the success that he did. But he goes 5 2/3 innings, 6 strikeouts. He did allow 2 home runs. He did allow 2 earned runs. But he gave you exactly what you needed in a game that the Astros did not get a lot of offense and won 3-2. Can he do that again? On the season, he did not face this Texas lineup. So I really think that you are rolling the dice and you're not 100% sure what kind of pitching performance you're getting tonight. On the other hand, though, Andrew Heaney is getting the start for the Rangers. And as put out by someone on Astros Twitter, and I apologize, I don't remember the Twitter handle, but the Astros' career batting averages against Andrew Heaney are as follows. Jeremy Pena. Is this going to be the Jeremy Pena night where I can finally like put together a song? I've been waiting. I've been waiting for a while. He hasn't hit a home run since like June. He's hitting .429 off of Heaney. Mauricio Dubon's hitting .333. Altuve's a .324 hitter. Bregman .314. Alvarez .286. Chaz McCormick, who will probably start tonight, I would think, over Michael Brantley, .286. Jose Abreu .263. Brantley .250. It does make you feel pretty good about the lineup's chances tonight. It really does. But I do respect the Rangers lineup, and I think the Rangers lineup is better than that of the Twins. The Twins get a lot of home runs, but they strike out a lot. I think the Rangers lineup is a lot more dangerous. They got some young players on the team that you wonder, like, what's the future of this organization? Josh Young, 2 home runs in essentially his rookie season. Evan Carter, they got some good young players. We haven't seen noted Astros destroyer of the past, Adolis Garcia, do anything. Marcus Semien is a guy who I think has balls. Like, I do have some respect for the Rangers team, not Rangers fans. So this is going to be really tough for Jose Urquidy tonight. And I think, once again, if the Astros get on you early, good luck. And they're going to have to get on Heaney early. And I think that's the good news about Heaney being on the hill and all those numbers I just listed. There's a good chance that the Astros can get on Heaney early. But they have to. They got to find a way. So we'll see what happens on that front. Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 is how you call in. It's how you text in. You can also join on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Texter says that Scherzer did that on purpose. Yeah, I think so. George W. Bush went into the Astros clubhouse before the game. Can George W. Bush have him unpardoned for that? I don't know. From the 409, I'm focusing on today, but can we talk about game six? Yeah, that was somebody earlier. Listen, we'll get there when we get there. But we got to take care of today. We got to take care of what's in front of us. I'm a master procrastinator. I put together a list right here. I got my daily planner. I got a bunch of things listed down here. And I guarantee you that I will push some of these things off. Like today, I got to go to the police station to file a police report on my assaulted car. You have to actually physically go to report a hit and run. Like, they really don't want you to do it. Which I get, by the way. I get. The scratch is not that big. But I demand justice. And I think the Houston Police Department can give me justice. You know, some people are doubting on the Houston Police Department. I am not. I think that's why I wore my Don't Mess With Mattress Max shirt. I'm going to wear this there. Mattress Max trying to support the cops. I support the police for this specific incident right here. Justice.
Today is the biggest day of the whatever HPD officer sitting behind a desk that you walk in front of.
Watch out, Midwest District. I'm coming in with my mustard short shorts and my Don't Mess With Mattress Max shirt. And together, not only are we going to manifest like just good energy in the city of Houston when it comes to, you know, picking neighbors up when they're down and getting justice and retribution, specifically the retribution part. Yeah, I wouldn't mind a tasering of this person. Honestly, like they won't even need to pay for the thing if I can get a little tasing, just a tasing.
Do you think he should be thrown in jail?
Yes.
J-I-A. Oh, right.
Big boy jail.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're just going to pretend that didn't happen.
Okay. Yeah.
I spelled it. I spelled it fine.
Yeah. Definitely won't play it
later. I do declare, as someone who
penitentiary.
We normally say penitentiary down here. Back in the day when prison was good and we used to wear our striped outfits out there, it looked a lot better than the orange, though. The Houston Astros look orange. And orange looks pretty good. Martin Maldonado's hair is orange. We're all over the place. Whatever.
Also, is this Southern? This is Southern inmate, not Southern lawyer.
I don't know, man. It's positive vibes.
Did Southern lawyer have a dark past that he ran away from?
He did.
I'm still a wanted man in Tennessee.
He's like Jimmy McGinty. Is that? Wait, hang on.
Jimmy McGill.
Jeez.
It's all good.
Just go to break.
Listen, it's all good, man.
Just go to break.
It's all good, man.
It is all good, man. Let's just go to break because we need to get back and focus, Sean. We're focusing on game four. I was about to say game five. Nope. Game four. Tonight, game four. It's the biggest game of the season for the Astros. It's the biggest day of your life. So you want to get any final thoughts in, 713-780-3776 to Colin and to text in. We wrap things up after this. First, I have to talk about my friends at TGS. Let's focus on TGS. Let's focus on saving money. I love saving money. Don't you? Imagine being the person in your car like, actually, no. First off, if you're that person, I hate you. You're a terrible, terrible person, and you make us all sick. But you can change all of that. Because if you, person who hates saving money, text the word money, M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323, you're going to find out how much money you could save in home insurance. You text that word, money, which I spelled correctly, to 232323. And you know what's going to happen? They're going to ask you for your address. You send them the address, and they're going to give you a proposal for home insurance. And here's the thing. It's probably going to be cheaper than what you're paying. So, like, what are you waiting for? You might be missing out on saving actual money. Even you, Mr. I don't care if I'm wasting money. I'm all fancy. No. Text the word money to 232323. They're going to give you awesome coverage. 35,000 neighbors in the area trust TGS. Thousands of five-star reviews online. If you want to check for yourself about the coverage they can give you from up the coast, the Woodlands, to Katy and Cypress, all the way to Beaumont. Their customers save big because of those simple, fast, and easy big savings. TGS, the gold standard. Get your savings right now. Text MONEY, M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Dude.
Have you paid your dues, Jack? Yes, sir. The check is in the mail.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Some comments here. Willie Balters asks, you never confirmed yesterday. Are you going frosted tips and Clemens haircut if the Astros come back and win it? Well, here are two things. First off, that was only if they were going to be down 3-0, because I still would have picked the Astros to win the series if they were down 3-0. Honestly, I might have picked the Astros to win the series in 8 or 9 if they were eliminated, just to be really annoying.
They're down 4-0.
Yeah.
Like, I thought this never been done before, but if anyone can do it, it's these guys.
It is true. If anyone could come back from down 0-4, it would have been them. They just got to let them play, you know. 9 games in this series, which is, I believe, how the World Series actually used to be. Could be wrong on that. I think that there was a time where the World Series was best of 9.
It was back when it was only the World Series. Like, the World Series was the only playoff.
Yeah.
It was, like, basically two, like, 6-team divisions, National League and American League. And then whoever won that after 100 and – I think they played, like, 150 games back then. They would play, like, a best of 9.
1919 to 1921, it was best.
Oh, they only did 3 years. Wow.
Which is, I only know that because I watched the movie 8 Men Out, which is about the 1919 Chicago Black Sox.
Ah.
Yeah. So anyway, Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. It is the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Gopher Monkey 1981 says, Paulie, we need a rant out of you before the show closes. Don't break the streak. One in a row. Oh, what? I got a rant all the time? Well, guess what? I actually have something for you. And it comes courtesy of the text line. Good God, I am just so good at improving. Shout out to Roseanne Weeks, my drama teacher, RIP, in 8th grade. Did you know I took improv class, Sean?
No, I did not know
I took
that.
Improv class because I loved Amanda Wilson of Hanover, Massachusetts, when I was in 8th grade.
Just loved it.
My first love.
Silly me. I thought it was some sort of, you know, SNL actor or someone that was in some sort of movies that you admired her work. And then you, no, it's just.
What? It was the first person.
13-year-old love.
First person I ever loved. First person. Guess what? Rejected. Had a boyfriend. This started a pattern of me loving people that had boyfriends.
Is this the rant or?
No, this isn't the rant. I'm getting there. A text. Paul, why don't you do any interviews? Roger Clemens interview, Radio Gold. I'm not good enough. You want to hear other people talk? No, I'm serious. You want to hear other people talk? Why are you here? Why are you here? We've been pretty fine without interviews. We try to book people for interviews. We do. We try. Here's the thing. In studio or no. I don't want to do phone interviews ever again. Because most of the time when we do phone interviews, they're terrible. And this is one of those things where I don't get this about sports talk radio. Why do you bring on a guest? What's the point of bringing on a guest? Truly, what is the point of bringing on a guest? It's the Paul Gallant Show. If I'm bringing on somebody that maybe is, in the moment, controversial or scandalous or something like that, and I want to get something out of them, fine. But I think there's very few people who are going to want to come on this show once they understand how this show works and that I'm sometimes a sarcastic prick and that sometimes I'm a little pointed. Poke, 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 poke. So I realize that there is a limit to the amount of people that I can actually get on this show. And I think for the most part, this is a hot sports radio take. I think interviews suck. I really do, especially phone interviews. Half the time, the people that are on have overcommitted to millions of phone interviews to promote something that they only want to promote and they don't want to talk about the matter at hand that we have them on for. And I just think they're horrible, to be perfectly honest. People book beat writers and talk show hosts from other towns. I, for the life of me, I don't get it. I don't like it. And that's one of the reasons that we barely ever have any guests. If someone wants to come in studio, someone relevant, we do it. Vernon Maxwell over the phone, different story. But we wanted him in studio and thought we were getting him in studio when we did do that one time with him. We thought that was going to happen. It didn't. We like to have people in studio because I like to be able to look at a person and talk to the person. So we have done interviews before. We had Donnell Rawlings in studio. That was an absolute blast. Who's the other guy that we had in studio?
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
I think it was another stand-up comic. Yeah. Oh, it was I'll come back to me eventually. But It was another, Tommy Davidson. We like having people in studio. It's just better when it's in studio. So that's my rant. I just don't get why sports radio does phone interviews. I just think they're terrible. I think they're a waste of time. I think you can usually tell that the person that is on the phone is not doing their best and is generally going to ramble. And I think you can also usually tell that the host that's doing the interview, I think you can usually tell that that person is just asking a question is like, I needed to fill space because I don't have enough energy to fill an hour, 2 hour, 3 hour show. That's how I feel about guests. Sorry. Like if that offends you, if you're one of the other hosts on this station and you don't like that, like tough bleed, like that's how I operate.
Yeah, I think that it generally, like working on other shows, there is a little bit of like, well, we can just, you know, check a box for 15 minutes of radio by asking 5 or 6 questions to a person.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they talk for 2.5 minutes each.
We had our last program director, and look, he's got his own ideas about radio. I have my own ideas about radio. He was always pushing us, book guests, book guests, book guests. Okay, if I post a clip of that guest talking and you can't actually see their face online, no one cares. And unless I make getting that person to absolutely step in dog doo-doo, which I also think is kind of an effed up thing to do if you're going to bring somebody on your show. Like, you're welcoming them into your house. And I gotcha kind of moment when you're welcoming them into your house is effed up, in my opinion. It's dishonorable. I don't like it. I like to be honest with people. I think a lot of people that I want to interview, I just want to be mean when I ask them questions too. And I honestly wouldn't really want that situation to unfold. Like, it would be radio gold, I guess, but I don't know. That's just not who I am.
And another part of the calculus is, like, and you touched on it earlier, like, this is a 2-hour show. We have 8 segments. Like, we're not
going to. Enough me.
We're not going to. Or no, it's just we're not going to spend 12% of the show, like, literally phoning in a segment. Like, that just doesn't make sense to me.
Someone texted in, not saying do interviews with nobodies, but people like Roger Clemens. Or do you think we're not trying? We get that, too. Like, we want to bring on big names. Oh, I'm going to come on the Paul Gallant show. Like, I realize who I am. We try. We shoot our shot. But it's hard, baby. Someone texts in. Maybe you were a trash interviewer. Honestly, maybe. We barely do any. But just me? It's amazing. To hear their perspective. F their perspective. My perspective's the only one that matters. That's why you're here. It's time for garbage time.
I'm only happy when
it's garbage. And then I start eating garbage.
If there's one guy up here who knows about total garbage,
garbage,
it's this guy. It's garbage time with Paul Gallant. Let's go.
Let's go.
Text in from the 409. You don't like guests because no self-respecting person wants to have a dialogue with you. It is insane that you have a job. That actually is true. Whose nephew are you? I am actually the nephew of a very powerful lobbyist in Washington, D.C. Actually a true story. That's how it happened. He just flexed on the city of Houston, blackmailed them into getting me a job. So here I am. I'd love to have a dialogue with you, though. But really, the reason we don't have guests is because it's hard to book them. And I think that the effort's not worth it half the time. And on top of that, more me! Speaking of more me, Sean, can we do it again? Because today is the best day of the rest of our lives. And today is the biggest game of the Astros season.
Oh, yeah.
Can you hit me with a little... You know?
One second.
I just need a bump. Just one bump. I'm fine. I know it's sober October. I'm a day. It's sober October, but like I'm one day post eating all of those pumpkin spice cookies. Give me a bump. Sean, give me a bump.
I didn't have it ready.
Give me a bump! Give me my bump! Of music. Because we don't do that. It's illegal.
Why did they argue?
Why did they die for the die on the draft? What the hell does that mean? Who cares?
Brantley did it.
That's true, Sean. It's the 80s, dude. We're on cocaine. It's fine. All you've got. The war's not over till the final shot.
It's pride, glory, and fame.
Yeah.
Who says it's only a game? Why do you think they call them spice?
I don't know.
Why do you think they call them spice?
Also don't know. Now, Astros baseball. Who says it's only a game? Game 4 tonight, biggest game of the season, best day of the rest of your life, manifested today, baby. That's going to wrap up the Paul Gallant Show. Big thanks to Sean Mapes. Big thanks to our texters and twitchers and callers. I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Thursday. Connor and Bearder up next. Peace! Max Scherzer should have been sent to jail for that. Jail. J-A-I-L.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We're your daddy.
Well, I feel like I'm your daddy.
You're not my daddy.
No,
daddy.
Hush, now I'm your daddy.
You ain't my daddy, boy.
Yes, yeah, I am.
You are not our daddy.
I am your daddy.
Not a daddy.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.